Hello, and welcome back to Send Parenting Balance Podcast. My name is Katie Walker, and I talk all things parenting children that may have autism, ADHD, PDA, and/or any other associated mental health difficulties. Today's topic is all about staying safe on the internet with the apps, with social media, and of course, online games. And this is a request that comes up quite a lot with our children of all ages, from youngsters playing Fortnite to the older teens navigating social media apps and the internet. And of course, every single family will be very different with their expectations and their understanding and their experience of apps, social medias, internets, and gaming. And so, rather than having a definitive set of guidelines to follow, today's podcast is more about thrashing out lots of different ideas that maybe you could pull from. So I guess personally, I'm not a fan of shying away from the internet, from the apps, from social media, and/or from chat rooms and online games with my children. It is here to stay, and I am more about educating them on how to navigate that world safely and appropriately, and as a team, so that I am part of that journey with them, and it's not something that's hidden or done in secret, which I think is really positive. And that, of course, comes with positive communication, without the fear of discipline for my children if something goes wrong and they need to approach me about it. I'm much more of a fan of having that open communication about it from the absolute offset, rather than just being fearful of what could happen and shutting it down and not enabling my children to access certain apps, online sites, social media things, or gaming, chat rooms, etc. I guess the reason for that is I see so many and have worked with so many children that may access those apps and sites and social media things with their friends away from the house, away from the parents. They may have the apps during the day, delete them before going in the house in the evening, or they may do it all behind the adults' backs in fear of discipline or breaking the boundaries the parents have set. And I feel like personally for me, and of course, every single person will be different and that's valued and respected. But for me, I feel like that's more dangerous than just letting them access what it is that's age appropriate at the right times, of course, with the education of safety that goes with it. Now, as an absolute minimum, I think it's really important to have that positive communication about social media, internet gaming with our children without them fearing that they're going to get into trouble. And so I work really hard on making sure that that is possible with my children. I think another consideration for me when I think outside the box is the fear can sometimes come from Emily having the ADHD and autism and the social and communication disorder that comes with it because she has lack of danger awareness and lack of cause and consequence, or at least minimized cause and consequence, that she can sometimes be making decisions that are age appropriate, but perhaps isn't being or not able to be age appropriate in doing so, if that makes sense. So, for example, I have had parents and families come to me and say things like their 13-year-old, for example, may be opening online chats with children that are much older and then wanting to travel 3 hours away to go and meet these children. And that, of course, is very dangerous. And so we need to kind of make sure that our child is safe and how those decisions are impacting their safety. And one of the best ways I do this with Emily and have advised other families to do with their children is to use kind of a CBT method. And that's to, as long as you've got positive and open communication, then you can sit with that child and say things along the lines of, okay, so you can get a bit of paper, have two columns, you can have positives and risks. And in the positives, you could ask the child, okay, so what are the positives of meeting up with these online friends you've met 3 hours away? And there'll be loads, and your child may say, you know, I'll make some new friends and I'll be able to do this and this and this. And they'll have a great long list. And then you can perhaps talk about and open up, brainstorm the different risks associated with that. So, for example, perhaps they won't be there on the other end of the train stop. Perhaps your child might get lost. Perhaps these people won't be who they say they will be. And you may have to manipulate some of these answers, but hopefully you will be part of a team and part of a conversation where you can both input to this And hopefully your child may, on their own, be able to see that the risks column is far longer than the positives column, and it may get them brainstorming their own safety around meeting these people that might be 3 hours away. And so this CBT method, this kind of positives column and the risks column, is a really good way to open up and brainstorm conversations with your child without getting angry or defensive or fearful, or the child getting in trouble or not quite coming up with a good suggestion. Every suggestion is a good suggestion, and it all goes down on this bit of paper. And that can really help build a connection and trust between the two of you when brainstorming the best way to move forward with it. But one of the things with the cause and consequence is when you have a child with, if you have a child with ADHD, the executive function and emotional intelligence can be somewhat behind peers of their age. And so, although your child may perhaps be 13, their cause and consequence, their sense of danger, their executive function, and their emotional intelligence could be more suited to that of a 9 or 10 year old. So, although the 13-year-old may want to be accessing things that their friends are all accessing age appropriately, actually, you may find that if your child has any of these conditions or symptoms of ADHD or any other associated mental health difficulties that are showing up in ways of decreased cause and consequence, decreased awareness of danger, decrease in executive function, a decrease in emotional intelligence in comparison to peers of their age, then we would need to bear that in mind when moving forward with our safety talks and discussion about how we can use the internet safely. It's really important, I think, to effectively be able to teach children about internet safety and establish clear online rules and expectations, encouraging open communication about their online activities and ensuring that they understand the risks and responsibilities associated with using the internet. Now, that is a whole long list. How on earth do we do that? Particularly if our children have autism and/or ADHD, this can be really difficult. But through lots of very small interventions and conversations, we can really start to break this down. Let's break down what that can look like then to make it a little bit more manageable. Some different ideas. So, some parents and carers will really like to establish clear rules and expectations, setting their boundaries. So they will define what apps, what social media sites, what internet sites, what gaming, what chat rooms their children can access, and what will happen if those rules are broken. So, for example, if they do access things that they're not supposed to access, perhaps they may go without the internet for X amount of time. And that's absolutely fine if that is what you're hoping to implement with your child. If you have a child with PDA, that can be very difficult to implement. And so I, in my house, due to my children's needs, sit on the side of the fence where we will talk about the experiences of them using age-appropriate apps, internet, games, chat rooms, and keep them safe that way rather than punishing or taking anything away. I always have to bear in mind, and we all should bear in mind, that children are going to make mistakes. They are going to push the boundaries. And therefore, it's then our job as parents and carers, or in my opinion, it is, to then teach them why that is unsafe, why those rules and boundaries were put in the first place. The whys are really important. And sometimes as parents, we can forget that. But for the children, they're really important. And if the children understand those whys, they're more likely going to go along with them. Using parental controls can be really helpful. So, some parents place timers on gaming, either in the form of your two games, or you're going to have Wi-Fi cuts off at 9 p.m., or in the form of you're allowed 2.5 hours every day screen time. It's up to you how you use that, but once it's done, it's done. And of course, with the different tablets now, with the Amazon Fire tablet and the iPads, you can set up all these parental controls, which is really helpful. And I know on some tablets, like the Amazon Fire, that's in the kids section, they actually limit access to certain websites and apps. So it's something that you're not even in control of. And it's certainly to the child, especially if they have PDA, doesn't feel like a demand from the parents on them because it's just what the tablet does, which can be really helpful to take away those rules off of the parents' shoulders and make it more about what's inbuilt into the tablet or phone. Creating a safe space to make your child feel comfortable in discussing their online experiences and concerns they have is really, really important. And I will often open up communication with both of my children constantly about their online experiences. And so, with Harry, who has the headset who plays Fortnite, I will constantly be teaching him that it's okay for him to play with children of his age, but not older. And it's a safe enough space for me to go into his bedroom and sit with him and listen. I might even put the headset on and say, "Can I say hi to your friends?" And usually Harry's really excited to introduce me to his friends, which is a really good sign. And so he'll quite often say, "Can my mum say hi?" And I'm saying hi to these other children. And that feels very safe and okay. Now, the rules for Harry, in order for him to enjoy going on the headset to play Fortnite, is that he needs to have the responsibility that he's not going to be talking to older people and he is going to behave a certain way, which we will talk about a bit later on in this podcast. And so, with the rights of being able to play Fortnite and have the headset, comes the responsibility of perhaps understanding his own role in playing Fortnite, but also the responsibility on keeping himself safe. And we will often daily check in and talk about his experiences of being online. Just questions, minimal questions. Who are you playing with? How old is that person? Where does that person live? All these kind of things, just to really understand what it is he's doing online. I'm asking questions all the time. I'm regularly inquiring about online activities, what they're doing, and who they're talking about. And so, once you've created that safe space where your children are able to talk to you without feeling like they're going to be disciplined or feel uncomfortable in doing so, then of course you can ask regular questions and it not be seen as supervising or kind of looking in on them constantly. It can be more seen as a friend just checking in, which is great. I think it's also really important to listen and validate children's feelings and concerns and avoid judgment or blame. Emily has been subject to quite a few things online, only a handful of times, but things that aren't necessarily ideal that you wouldn't necessarily want. And so rather than blaming her for being on the apps or blaming her or taking it away and saying, "Right, you can never have that again because that's awful. I wish that had never happened," it's more about, okay, well, how do we deal with that as a team? How did that make you feel? And what can we do? Are we going to report that person? Are we going to block that person? Do you not want to go on the app again? What was our role in that? And really teaching her how to move forwards safely with it. And so listening to her feelings and concerns without that judgment or blame means that she does come to me and we do have that connection if anything goes wrong. It's really important to emphasize the safety of keeping personal information private, including name, address, phone number, and school. And if you're in TikToks or videos, or if they're in photos, to not have their school logo showing, or perhaps they won't use their real name as their name on the social media sites is one that Emily follows. And these are all really good teaching opportunities as to why that is. Why are we keeping ourselves online? Why is it important? If you are 14 and you want to have a particular app, then it's really important that you can have the app and I'm listening to you, but we are going to have to put these other things in place to keep you safe at the same time. And it comes with this shared responsibility, this teamwork between the two of you. Cyberbullying is really important and how to address it. And I will often check in with Emily, likely about once every 3 weeks, to check in with, what people are saying, who's friends with who, what online dramas are going on, and whether there's any impact or whether there is any cyberbullying going on. And if there was any cyberbullying going on, what would that look like? And what could we do about it to keep ourselves safe? And that obviously comes with being able to talk about that sometimes there are people online that may try to seek them out to report suspicious behavior if that is the case, and to know that she can come to me at any time without feeling like she would be the one to blame if that happens. And one of the biggest ways that I'm able to open that conversation, interestingly, is to share my own social media sites and things that might not be going well, so she doesn't feel done to and that it's all about her and her accounts. So, as you know, I'm on TikTok as well as many other sites, and quite often I will get quite a lot of, what should we call them, sugar daddies maybe, in my inbox. And it's really important that I am able to share that with her and go, oh my goodness, look at how inappropriate this is. Now, it's not too inappropriate for her to see. There's no bad language in there. There's no sexual references. But it is important for her to see just the sheer quantity of people that message me and they are predators and that's not okay and the inappropriateness of it, but also what we can do about that. And I think because it's happening to me, she can really buy into the fact that, oh my God, that's really shocking. And then start to learn about actually this is what happens online and how do we need to keep ourselves safe and how does my mum keep herself safe? And also opens up communication and we can have a laugh about it to her. I can go to her with my social media boo-boos or my social media difficulties and open up that conversation so that she doesn't feel that it's all about her, which is really great. Obviously, I'm constantly teaching her about not saving any financial information online and changing her passwords regularly, but also her online interactions and how she is showing up online to her friends, her online friends. What are her online friends experiencing? Making sure there's no bullying coming from here or bad language coming from this end or meltdowns on Fortnite from Harry while the headset is on for his friends to experience. And it's really important to get them to see that their online presence is just as important as the online presence that's coming inward towards them, which comes with a little bit of critical thinking. And critical thinking is a really good thing to start getting your children to do, even if they have autism, ADHD, and/or PDA. And one of the best ways to do this with my daughter was by looking at social media sites. And the whole my happy world, my happy life, everything is perfect. When actually the reality of the situation is there's a lot of filters. The reality of the situation is that actually things aren't all perfect and people only show their best bits. And that actually, if it's too good to be true, it usually is too good to be true. And if somebody is on some amazing holiday that is just out of this world incredible, they've likely had to work 2 years to be able to achieve it. And kind of all of this critical thinking, making sure that things stay realistic. And with Emily, that's been a long time getting this into her. I think it's more difficult if your child has autism and/or ADHD to really see the truth behind social media. But it is important to embed so that they don't buy into it as that is what they're aspiring to, or that is the norm, because the world online is not the norm, it's not reality. So I think the message of today is to just open up that open, positive dialogue between you and your children so that they can come to you and discuss any questions or concerns about their online safety without the fear of judgment or punishment. I think it's in my opinion, and everybody would be very different. And again, that's valued and respected. I find it much easier, and I think it's much better to educate them to ha in how to safely access apps, social media, gaming, chat rooms, and internet, because that's not going anywhere, rather than shut it right down and have them navigate that world behind my back with their friends in the school playground or, round the corner when they've just popped the shop or when they're out the front with their friends with absolutely no knowledge or understanding as to how harmful actually the internet, chat rooms, and social media can be, but also without frightening them with it and, making them see the internet is here to stay and social media is here to stay. And so learning to live alongside it can sometimes be so much easier than trying to shut it away or putting in too many rules or regulations. I've been recently working with a family, and one of their concerns was that the internet wasn't being used safely. And this positive communication between the two of them, between parents and child, wasn't necessarily present at this time because it was all very chaotic. And we've all been there. I've been there numerous times in my own household. We all know with our children with autism and ADHD and/or PDA, this can happen occasionally, and we can end up in this little zone maybe for a few days, a few hours, or even a few weeks of just where communication can really shut down and everybody's misunderstanding each other. But the advice from other professionals around this family was to just ban all internet, all social media, all gaming and chat rooms, completely put a stop to it, rather than maybe looking at some of the activities we've spoken about today, rather than looking at risk assessing it or doing the CBT activity where you have the two columns of positives and risks rather than opening up that communication or looking at other people's whoops moments on social media and opening up discussions about that to almost have a bit of a laugh about it and be a bit light-hearted about it to try and get into that teen's world so that you can open up that dialogue and that positive communication, which I think in turn is going to make a massive impact on how children are accessing the internet, gaming, social media, and chat rooms safely. Rather than just shutting it away, I feel like just shutting it away feels like such a punishment that children will then be more wary to come towards you to discuss those concerns. This is such a big topic, and everybody's going to feel very passionately about it and very different about it. And again, as always, everyone's opinions are valued. If you want to leave a comment or contact me, you can find me at www.sendparentingbalance.com. You will also find on my website a send consultation. If you ever want to just speak about any concerns, whether that be online safety, gaming, whether that be any behaviors, and how we can kind of brainstorm ways to make that a little bit easier for you, or to think about changing things up at home, or to just talk about the impact that these behaviors have on you as a family, or even on your child, then please do reach out and I'd be more than happy to support and help. I hope you have a lovely day and remember to be kind to yourselves. As always, please remember that this podcast is provided for entertainment and education purposes only and does not take the place of a qualified and trained counselor or therapist. Thank you.